They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. Radio Fairfax, I'm Sue Bartholomew, and you're on The Commons. And on The Commons with us today, we have an old friend who's been very, very busy, but he hasn't been on the show for a long time. So I'm sure my regular listeners will be happy to have Jan Bergman back. Jan, thank you so much for taking time out of your super busy schedule to join us today.
Hey, Sue, thanks for having me. That's the idea, and I'm glad to talk to you again. And yes, we were very busy in Florida, and we actually think we achieved quite a bit and are still in the process of achieving more.
Well, that's what you're going to tell us about, because I know you've had some bills. And I know, first of all, we had Julio on not too long ago, and I know that Julio was your archangel, that he was always there and always working with you and no questions asked. When, you know, when you wanted something, Julio was there for you.
And he still is.
And he still is, but he's not...
He's not in the legislature anymore, but he still is. And I just talked with him this morning.
Next time you talk to him, would you give him a big hug for me?
I will, and I'll see him in 3 weeks in person, and I will give him that in person.
Awesome. Thank you, Jan.
Okay.
All right, so you've been busy. You've managed to get a bill through that you were telling me a little bit about, and you sent me a link. And tell us a little bit about the bill, because there's some really interesting stuff that you've done.
Well, it was actually from starters when we talked with the legislators and our sponsors first. It was a very lengthy bill, which would more or less take care of Florida's HOA statutes. Because, make no mistake, Florida homeowners associations are not regulated. There is nobody homeowners can turn to for information or any other help. And the statutes itself are partially very vague, and you know, you see a lot of lawsuits, extensive lawsuits, which are caused by the fact that the statutes are really not written in a clear way, you know, easy to understand. There is a lot of leeway interpreting any which way you want, and you know, attorneys make a meal out of it, interpreting anything they ever want if it's not really a clear language. So much said, we had a long list of, a long wish list, let's do it that way, and we found actually legislators willing to go along with it, and they did real well, and we have to thank them a lot for doing it. And we got more or less part one of this bill passed in the past legislative session in spring. And we are in the process of working on part two. The reason why it was split is the fact that nobody here in Florida actually knows how many homeowners associations there really are, where they are located, and how many homes are located within these homeowners associations. So the legislators made a point and said, look, you know, how can we regulate something? We don't even know how many, where they are, and so on. So in the first bill, beside passing quite a lot of other very useful provisions, they put the requirement for every HOA here in Florida to register on the website, which is being established by the DBPR, and say, you know, the name, the location, the FEI number, the budget, and here we go. So at the end of this year, we will know how many there really are, because it depends on how much to charge for regulation. See, in the moment, condos, co-ops, mobile home parks, and timeshares pay $4 a year, you know, for each unit. Now, if homeowners come into the game where it is estimated, make sure everybody understand estimated in the moment, there will be more $4 payment than they get now, meaning we think it will nearly double the amount of money collected, and that would be much too much. So the idea is to say, okay, we regulate and put the homeowners associations in Florida under the jurisdiction of the DBPR and the division. But since there is plenty of money, we charge everybody only $2 annually, meaning it will be as well of advantage for all the condo people and everybody, because make no mistake, with the amount of units and homes in all these community associations, paying $2, you have plenty of money to create a Cadillac among regulatory agencies. So that's the big idea. So we passed in spring a bill that especially creates developer restrictions, because the economy killed quite a lot of good plans. You know, developers here in Florida go bankrupt faster than you can count. Then they disappear and somebody else takes over and runs wild in these communities because there were no real rules and restrictions, and that had to stop. You know, we had cases where new developers came in, and the first thing they did is they changed the deed restriction and said developer lots don't have to pay anything. So they put the whole economic burden on the homeowners who were already stupid enough to buy into these associations.
I want to go back just a second, Jan, because you were talking about what you're going to be charging the homeowners for this, and I'm thinking the irony of the whole thing, because municipalities generally mandate associations, so they're kicking off out of the stuff that they normally would pay for onto the private sector, so the homeowners are essentially being double taxed. Now they're having to pay an additional fee to have someone regulate what the municipalities have done. There's something, it's a spiraling thing. $2, $4, it doesn't matter. It just keeps spiraling out of control, Jan, doesn't it?
Well, I don't really feel that way, because, see, the regulatory agency is not just regulating. See, in the moment, if a homeowner has any problem, like, say, they want the records, the association is not giving them the records as they would be required by Florida law. Okay, the only way out for this homeowner is to file a lawsuit, which is very expensive, as you know. Now with the regulatory agency in place, the homeowner gives the demand to the regulatory agency, and according to Florida law, the regulatory agency is required to subpoena these records without cost for the homeowner. You know, so you can get education in the moment. If you have a problem as a homeowner, you have to call a private attorney, ask for advice, which costs you $300, $400, $500. And you know, it's just an opinion you're paying for. You know, that's not written in stone what the attorney will tell you. And you know, 50% of all attorneys are wrong because they lose in court. So this is actually for $2. Many of the homeowners consider that a gift. because they save a lot of money, and you have as well the problem, don't ever forget that, that lower court judges are not always the smartest people in town.
Yeah, but Jan, if you didn't live in an HOA, you wouldn't be paying, you wouldn't have these problems in the first place.
Right.
And
but
you live in an HOA because the local municipality mandates it. They mandate it because they don't want to provide the services.
Which is right, but see, the system is in place, and you know, we all know that it would be very hard to change the system, you know, especially with the contracts in place. You are in a homeowners association, there is very little you can do. And, you know, I know that people say we should just dissolve all homeowners associations and do this and do that. Look, I don't, you know, as much as I possibly would like to see it, but I don't think it's legally feasible. Because what happens with all these roads and amenities and all these things, they're there. You know, I think it would be a good idea stopping building homeowners associations, you know, so that we kind of protect the future. And actually we see through realtors that there are a lot of people who say, you know, we want to buy a home, but please not with a homeowners association.
Right.
There is no question about it, but I think we should as well look at the point that millions of people here in Florida, it's estimated that more than 2 million homes are located in mandatory homeowners association. You know, we need to take care of these people and protect them. They're there.
I'm not arguing with you on that at all, Jan. I agree with you that you have to do it. I'm just saying it's the irony that you're stuck in one of these things because the local municipality mandates it. They mandate it because they don't want to do anything for you. Then when they've created this thing, then they charge you an additional fee to oversee it. And you sort of wonder what your taxes are going for.
Well, see, the problem is really, you know, if you live in an HOA, you pay property taxes exactly the same than anybody who lives outside an HOA.
Absolutely.
But the one outside the HOA gets all kinds of services,
right,
while the guy inside the HOA doesn't get anything.
Right.
And, you know, that is, I mean, I think 12 years when we talked about it the first time together, Shu, I think at that time we already said, you know, please don't buy into an HOA. You know, let's be honest. The disadvantages are there. And, you know, this fairy tale about associations protecting property values, that's about the weirdest story, you know. The Brothers Grimm wrote much better fairy tales than that, you know, because what we could see, when the economy busted here in Florida and the real estate market busted, you know, the first thing that went down were the property values within these associations. And it's very obvious why, because suddenly these people who paid everything, who did everything, who followed the rules, suddenly had to pay for their neighbors who stopped paying.
When you look at all the things that are going on, I think it's very easy to understand that HOAs actually do not protect your property values or your income. They're not, I mean, if your property is an asset, it's costing you more than it should. But Jan, is there a study that was done? Are you aware of anything? Because I'm getting ready to send an email to Frank Rathman and ask him if CAI has done a study to back up their claims that HOAs protect property values. Do you have anything that shows that, at least in Florida, that was definitely not the case?
Not really, you know, because how can you study something that isn't there?
Because,
you know, it's kind of hard to study. If I have an empty wallet, why studying that it's empty?
You do not live in an HOA.
No, not anymore.
You do not live in an HOA, but your neighbors down the road across town, wherever, they live in an HOA. If you find a house that is similar in size and everything else to one in an HOA, did the property values remain the same beforehand? I mean, that's how you determine whether the values were protected or went down. The housing economy, the bubble burst, so everything went down. But if the house in an HOA went down by 50% and yours only went down by 20%, then that right there is proof positive that an HOA did not protect the value. If yours went down by 50% and the HOA went down by 20, you can say, okay, the HOA did in fact protect property values. But there's no, see, that's where you're going to determine, you're going to compare the two houses.
Well, that might be a way, but you know, don't forget that, for example, property values are in reality caused by, you know, the buyer's market. If you have buyers who pay for a certain house, then it's good. So what happened here in Florida, that houses inside HOAs had no, there were no potential buyers for it. And with that, the property values obviously go down, because when the people want to sell it and there's nobody there to sell it, they have to lower the price. They have to lower the price until there's really not much left.
So that's one way of doing it. Another way is looking at the taxes. If before the bubble bust came along and you're, you know, again, we're comparing similar size houses. You're not going to take a small house and compare it to a big house. You could still do that doing based on a percentage wise, but if you compare the two houses and before the bust, if the tax rate, both houses were being taxed at the same rate, and then a couple of years down the road, you sort of look and see what the tax rates are doing, because the taxes are going to follow the sales to a certain extent.
Yeah,
they're kind of interrelated. If in an association nothing is moving, then the tax rates are going to go down because the value, the properties are selling for less, and the association or the local municipality is going to have to take that into consideration.
That may be correct, but the problem is, in order for you to lower the values on the property appraiser's website or on the by the property appraiser, you need to beat him over the head because he's not voluntarily lowering the amount he's taxing you for because he wants the money. You know, you have to go there and raise hell in order to lower your property value or your tax property value, but where you see it really is when realtors are telling you that buyers tell you, not inside an HOA, we want to spend $300,000 on a house that's about, you know, what we have in mind, but we want a house not that is not located inside an HOA. Because don't forget the many headlines we had here in Florida about people losing their homes because they couldn't anymore pay for their neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, we had associations here where more than 50% of the owners stopped payment to the association, meaning the other percentage had to pay double, and that went beyond their budget, and they went broke as well. Who wants that? You know, one guy said, you know, where do we live in Russia that I have to pay for my poor neighbor the TV fees?
See, that's the bundling all those things, I think, is a bad idea. But that's a different issue. No, but that's, you know, you make a good point. And again, we're getting back to, it's just adding and adding and adding more and more expenses and costs because of the HOA.
Which is partially okay, but on the other hand, you will save, even as an HOA, a lot of money. Because first of all, you know, let's see it from the side of the association with the board that wants to do everything proper and keeps the place maintained immaculately and everything. They have legal bills, $80,000, $100,000 a year. I've seen it. You know, I know quite a few associations where more than 50% of the annual budget goes for management and legal. That means very little to maintain the actual property. And that is why we pay maintenance fees, right? That's the name of the game.
That's right.
But these maintenance fees, not even less than 50%, go actually for maintenance. You know, and that makes no sense. So if you have a regulatory agency where you get all the knowledge, you know, on the website telling you how to interpret the law, you save a lot of legal fees. You know, you have all these cases where lawsuits are filed because the attorney says so. You know, that these lawsuits shouldn't be filed. In the end, the association loses. Look at the cases we had here with the guy who parked his pickup truck in the driveway, with the guy who had brown spots on the lawn. The association sued and lost in the amount of $400,000 and $500,000 legal fees. All that would stop because these cases would go to arbitration and would be dealt with by people who deal with community association law all day long. You know, you deal here with judges in the moment who tell you what is 720, which is the Florida HOA Act. You know, what is that? Did you bring the law? Never seen it. You know, that's the kind, the people who rule on your lawsuit. You know, how can that be?
It's pretty bad. One of the things that you talked about was that this law is going to require all HOAs to register with the division.
Yes.
And the idea is to find out how many HOAs there are, how many units there are controlled by HOAs, and presumably what the population is that lives in these things, right?
Correct, yes.
And the reason for, well, I had a talk with Evan McKenzie, and we kind of disagree on a lot of things, but his point was you need something like this that's going to give us an idea of how what we're looking at with the numbers. So now you're going to end up with the numbers, and you're going to end up with knowing how many HOAs you have in Florida, how many units are controlled by them, and all the rest of it. What are you going to do with that information?
Well, with that information, we know how much money would come in to pay for this regulatory agency, you know, depending if they pay $2 or $4. See,
okay.
In the moment, condos and co-ops here in Florida pay $4.
Yes.
Since 1995. That's a long-established issue. Now, adding all the homes and homeowners associations paying $4 each would, according to estimates in the moment still, would create a whole lot more money than is ever needed, right? So the idea is saying, okay, there are really 2 million homes in mandatory homeowners association, which would give us another $4 million, or actually $8 million if we would continue to charge $4.
Wow.
Then we have too much money, so what we can do, that we, since we put all community associations under the umbrella of this division, we can charge everybody only $2, because that still creates enough funds to pay for it and pay for the employees and everything, you know, because, you know, make no mistake, you know, I heard complaints from smaller communities. I said, look, you may pay $100 a year. If you one time call your attorney, he already charges you $400 for the telephone call.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it is, in my opinion, it may be an expense, but, you know, like an insurance, you know how much you pay. You know, and that will help in the long run, especially, you know, for example, one of the issues we passed this year was education for board members. You know, you have many well-meaning board members. You have as well a bunch of jerks. I mean, let's make no mistake here. But let's say there are quite a lot of well-meaning owners who serve on the board but have no clue what HOAs are all about. You know, now they go to a course and a seminar and minimum learn the basics. So they don't just have to rely on sometimes the stupid things they're being told by camps and attorneys. They can make their own mind up what they should and should not do. You know, give you an example. In an HOA here, not far away from me, you know, we passed a lot of laws that makes record requests less expensive. Now, an HOA nearby here was told, or the board was told by their attorney, every record request you have to send to me, I have to see if it's legal and everything. And they do it. And every time that attorney sends a letter saying, oh, I approved it, and you can have the owner inspect these records at the cost of about $150 a pop.
Wow. You know,
these people don't know better. You know, they say, oh, yeah, the attorney told us, so we have to do it that way, you know. Hey, look, I always say if the attorney tells you to jump from the bridge, would you jump?
the attorney wanted to make sure that requests for information were appropriate?
Yeah, kind of, you know. I mean, there are only two reasons not to show records, which is pending lawsuits and personnel, more or less health and social security numbers and things like that. Everything else is public record here in Florida anyway. But, hey, this is a way to make money. And, you know, make no mistake, you know, we have lots of association attorneys. But since the economy went bad, we have suddenly attorneys who claim to be specialists in association attorneys, and who have no clue whatsoever. You would, you know, believe me, I see letters written by attorneys show you, I don't think they have ever read 718 or 720. You know, but it's a good thing. You know, the association pay, it's a sure income, you know, and you can write anything you ever want because the board or most board members don't know enough to contradict you. And that has to change.
Yeah,
you know, people who deal with neighbors' money, you know, you have budgets there in the millions of dollars. These five board members, more or less, are supposed to manage. You know, you have board members, you don't even know how many zeros go in a million. You know, and they're wasting their neighbors' money. Is that right? Can that work? In my opinion, no, it can't.
Who's doing the training, Jan? Who's doing the training? I think it's a good idea to get the board members trained.
Okay, the training is done for free by law firms, CAM firms, whatever, but the course is being approved by the division or the DBPR. That has been done for condos since many, many years, very successfully. By the way, Julio created that for condos, that law. And we felt that homeowners are left out in the dark, and we think they should have the same right getting this education, and we think it is a good thing.
I attended something many, many years ago that was put on by CAI, and the attorneys who were doing the training were giving out false information to the board members, and I corrected them, and they sort of argued with me, looked at me, and they realized that I knew what I was talking about. And so they, yeah. But they were actually telling the board members the exact opposite of what the truth was.
Okay, here's the way it works here in Florida is the person who wants to hold the seminars has to give more or less a transcript to the division. This transcript is checked, you know, and then the seminar is either approved or disapproved, or they're telling you, this guy, you have to change this and that. That is not correct or whatever.
Oh, good. So there is some oversight on that.
Yes, they have to be approved. I mean, they actually get, these seminars get a license number, are approved, and you more or less, in order to be to get approved, you have to send a transcript of what you're going to say and how you're dealing with it to the division for approval.
That's very good, because as I said, you kind of lose control of what's happening, and you're offering the enemy, if you will, you know, an opportunity on a silver platter. Here you go. You can do whatever you want. But I'm glad to hear that. That's really good, I think.
You know, I was, when I still lived in St. Augustine in an HOA, I was at three different CAI courses. You know, in the end, it always came down to, yeah, right, but in the end, you need to hire an attorney anyway. So
yeah.
Well, why should you know? You know, so don't bother, you know, you call the attorney, he will take care of it. You know, that was the end of these seminars. You know, I thought it was ridiculous, but that has changed. And since we knew about it, you know, when we discussed it in the beginning for the condo seminars, that was taken into consideration, and that is why there is an approval process for the seminars nowadays.
See, there's an inherent conflict of interest in the way that, you know, CAI does this. So, I'm glad to see that you've managed to get something in place to try to prevent that. That's really good.
Well, and we stopped the CAI getting $500,000 from the Condo Trust Fund for educating condo owners. You know, I always thought that was pretty disgusting. I have actually nothing against the CEI. If they would admit they are a trade organization representing the interest of the service providers, you know, they have a good right to be that way, but they always say, oh, we're representing the associations and we're representing all the things. No. Say who you are and who you really represent, period. You know, don't always come this baloney everybody is supposed to believe.
Now, I agree with you, and I think that, you know, CAI is a trade organization. It has every right to be there. It used to be a lot more transparent. It used to be a lot more owner-friendly, but in the last couple of years, there's been this barrier that's been set up. And it's definitely a them against us scenario. Nobody believes that they're representing the homeowners. I talk to legislators and they roll their eyes. So, and they've lost the current CAI has lost complete and total credibility because they've been underhanded, sneaky, and just incredible. I mean, they just don't have the credibility.
Well, you know, they actually often make for a good laugh, and I give you one here. You know, when this bill, you know, with the registering of HOAs was discussed in Tallahassee, there was a roundtable meeting between the sponsoring legislators and the so-called interested parties, right? Everybody was sitting at a round table. The CEI lobbyist in the end came up and said, yeah, okay, you know, nothing wrong with registering, but can our clients charge the association for registering? Everybody looked at him like, hey, where are you coming from, guy? You know, because it will be a website with five questions and every halfway educated CAM will be able to fill that out in about 3 minutes. So, do they want to charge for the 3 minutes extra?
Well,
you know, it was ridiculous. You know, that was more or less his only concern in the whole bill.
So they wanted more money.
Yeah, well, you know, come on. I mean, even the developer people who were not in favor of this bill, you know, they looked at him like, you know, deer in the headlight. What the heck are you talking about here, you know? I can only say they make me laugh.
They make you. Well, that's good. I'm glad they make you laugh. They are quite ridiculous sometimes, but they don't have the credibility, because when I talk to legislators, they typically roll their eyes and they go, oh, we know who they are. We absolutely know who they are, you know, so they can go in and say, we represent the homeowners. The homeowners are here, you know, sent us to talk to you, and this is what they want. They want to be able to be fined by $10,000 a day, you know, and the legislators sort of roll their eyes and they, ugh, they're not.
What? You know, we had in more than a year ago one of these attorneys, you know, representing everybody and then some, stating in front of a legislative committee saying, you know, my name is such and such, and I represent this and this organization, and we represent 65,000 community associations in Florida. And one guy said, why, did you borrow some from Georgia? Because we don't even have that many.
So that's a good reason to figure out how many you have there.
You know, as well, the attorneys, if they are hired for legal representation by the board, that doesn't mean they're hired to represent the opinion of the owners living in this association. But they just assume the power and say, we represent them all. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You're on the Commons, and we're coming to you from Radio Fairfax in sunny and hot Fairfax today. And we're talking to Jan Bergman. Jan is the president of Cyber Citizens for Justice in Florida. He has been a tireless advocate for homeowners and has managed to get a whole lot done. He set a lot of standards and set the bar high. Jan, again, thank you for taking time out to join us today.
Hey, it's fun talking to you all the time.
It's fun. We haven't done a whole lot of that lately, but... It is fun talking. It is fun. So now this is the bill that was passed last year, right?
Yes.
And when does it take effect?
It took effect on July 1st.
So your bills take effect July 1. Now you're working on part 2, right?
Yes, I'm actually just writing it.
Just writing it. What can we look for in part 2? What's the wish list?
It is what we call the HOA Reform Bill Part 2. It will, since we know next year when this bill will be discussed in Tallahassee, at that time we know how many homeowners association and homes in homeowners association we have in Florida, because the registering has to be done until November the 23rd, and we expect the DBPR come with the results latest at the very end of this year. So that gives us 3 months time to deal with and to discuss the issues. And if we get the expected number of about 2 million homes, then we know what to do. And then we will go the next step and create a division that as well has HOAs under their jurisdiction. And, I mean, it's a full-fledged regulation with arbitration options and everything. So that will save a lot of ways to courts, expensive ways to courts. And you will talk with people who are doing nothing else but dealing with statutes regarding community associations. And not with judges, you have to educate first what these laws are all about. You know, and it saves a lot of time. It is a proven fact that arbitration is much, much less expensive than drawn-out lawsuits, because, make no mistake, many of these lawsuits are not won by legal facts. They are won because the owners run out of money. You know, and some of these association law firms drag out these lawsuits by filing motion over motion over motion in order to force the owner to spend money to respond to these motions. And then in the end, the owner has to say, hey, I have no more money. You know, can we find a settlement? You know, that's one of the ways these things are done. And it makes very little sense. And what is as well very needed is a place where owners can go to and just file a complaint. You know, boards, we have laws regarding reserve funds. But they use them as slash funds because there's nobody who's going after them for doing it, even if it's a clear violation of Florida law. So with a regulatory agency, you can file a complaint and say, look, my board takes the money which is supposed to pay for the road in 3 years when they're busted, and now they spend it on new palm trees at the entrance, you know, and the regulatory agency will stop it. You know, we see a lot of things that have more or less, they're no longer in existence in condos, but in HOAs they run wild because there's nobody to enforce it. And that is what we hope to stop.
So there's going to be a little adult supervision, as we like to say on the show.
Yes.
You're going to have an adult in charge over here making sure that the children that are the board members don't muck about and waste your money. It's interesting, Jan, because I went to one CAI law seminar, and one of the presenters, and I've said this a million times on the show, one of the presenters said, you ignore the homeowners. Because they're like children. You don't talk to children. You ignore children. The board members are the parents, and those are the people that you talk to. Now you've got maybe the grandparents that are coming on in the form of this oversight committee that you've got going over here that are going to tell the board members that they cannot take the reserve funds that were put aside to resurface the roads and use it to file a lawsuit against one of the homeowners. You know, you just don't do that. So it's interesting to see. It's an interesting process. It's interesting to see that there's layers and layers and layers that one looks after the other. And for some reason, we just haven't taught people to do the right thing.
Well, see, we are not just jumping into cold water. We have the experience from the condos and co-ops here in Florida. And even if the system is not perfect, you know, which system is, but it still is very helpful, you know, and it can be improved. But if you have nothing, you know the old saying, everything is better than nothing. You know, and in the moment, homeowners here in Florida have nothing. You know, we have a whole pile of laws in the books which are nobody is able to enforce. There is nobody to enforce them. You know, and if you call an attorney and say, look, you know, they're doing this and this and that, and they're clearly violating the law, the attorney tells you, yeah, okay, send me a check for $5,000 as retainer. You know, then the guy says, well, it's cheaper for me to pay the special assessment.
Yeah.
You know, and that has to stop. You know, if we have laws, we need to enforce them, and we need to be able to enforce them. You know, the best law is useless without enforcement.
You know, it's interesting that we have laws, and then we have laws. If you run a traffic light, you know, your taxes will take care of that. It's a law, and they're going to enforce it. But if you steal out of the condo fee or the slush fund or whatever in an HOA, but those laws, all of a sudden, they're not, we have a law that says you can't do that, but we can't enforce that. You have to go to court to do it. So just interesting to see how different parts of the law are being treated.
Well, and it you know, it will be interesting to see how the industry reacts to it, because don't forget, it is partially reining in their almighty power.
Yeah.
You know, because it evens out the playing field. You know, in the moment, on one side is all the power and all the money, and on the other side is a little homeowner who wanted nothing but live in peace in his home he bought from his life savings, and now gets harassed and mistreated and abused by some dictators, you know, who used Adolf and Goebbels as their big guys who did everything right. You know, that's not right. And you know, we live in the so-called land of the free. You know, where is the freedom?
You're free to steal, Jan. That's where freedom is.
Actually, among the provisions in the law which we passed is a provision that every association now has to have an insurance against embezzled funds. You know, we saw a lot of embezzlement here, and then the owners had to pay special assessment to make up for that because the associations didn't have, you know, bonds or insurance. So, you know, I know a case where people had to pay $3,000. You know, that's for some people a lot of money. You know, and because the camp manager disappeared with the money, and there was no insurance, no nothing, and the money needed to come back, so they levied a special assessment, which isn't right neither. You know, you have to protect the people.
I agree. You have to protect the people.
You know, if you pay a lot of money to buy a home in a homeowners association, you have a certain expectancy of protection, of consumer protection.
Yes, that's what and that's, I think, the point that I've been trying to make.
Yeah, right. And you know, the problem is that everybody thinks, oh, you know, our service providers need to make a fortune, you know, at the expense of the owners. Who else is paying it?
They always complain that they're just not making enough money.
Okay, maybe they should work as ambulance chasers.
I think that's a good idea.
You know, if you don't make money in one job, you see that you change the job. Isn't that the way it works in this world?
That's absolutely the way it works. That's absolutely the way it works, unless you can steal it.
Well,
unless you can steal it.
And then you get away with it if you live in Florida.
Yeah, well, if you live anywhere, really. So how has it been working out for the condos? Because you've had this for a long time. You've had this oversight, you've had the division there, you've had someone for the condo owners to go to for many, many years. Has that worked really well?
Well, really well is a little overdone, but it worked. You know, see, for example, one of the big issues is always elections. You know, cheating at elections. I think that's a favorite pastime of boards here in Florida. You know, the condo ombudsman, which is part of the division, can supply election monitors, meaning neutral people who come to the election, run the election, and see to it that everything is done fair and square. In homeowners associations, there is no such thing. You know, they have nowhere to go. You know, not too long ago, there was a homeowners association annual meeting. The room was packed, you know, the clubhouse was packed, standing room only, because the owners wanted the old board out. Here gets up the attorney and says, I can see we don't have a quorum, meeting is closed, goodbye, and they all left.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. Yes. Wow is just the right word. You know, they knew exactly that they would get their butts kicked, you know, in the election. So they choose not to have an election and said, okay, that is what is allowed according to Florida Statute 720. So that's it. So you don't like it? Sue us.
That's always the answer, isn't it? You don't like it? Sue us.
Yeah, and then some attorneys and the board members will tell you, you don't even have the money to sue us. You know, so you know, what kind of justice system is that?
No, it's not. And you know, I'm glad you're doing something. That's something that I haven't done over here. It's not something that I intend to get involved in. But I think something needs to be done. And I think you've done an absolutely incredible job with that over there.
We're by far not done.
You're not done. No, No, and this is huge. And I'll tell you one thing. Every time you try to block, it's like the little Dutch boy with his finger in the dike. Every time you block one leak, something's going to spring out somewhere else. It's like the story you were talking about earlier on the show when you said that in this one HOA, the attorney says you have to send every request to me for approval. And yeah. He was charging $150 to say, oh, yeah, they can see that, or no, you can't give them that. And when you point out that there are two things they can't have, information about pending litigation and personnel issues, I mean, that's pretty standard across the country. Everything else a homeowner should have access to.
And easy access to. You know, we even see in the law we passed, you can now even go free of charge to record inspection, can bring your own scanning devices like iPhones or tablets or whatever takes the picture, and you can do it without getting charged for it. You know, in former times there was always this 50 cent copying charge, and then the CAM charged another $100 for making the copies and all kinds of stuff. You know, that's no longer possible. You know, people can go now to the inspection. The inspection has to be free of charge, and they can bring their own scanning devices at no charge whatsoever, period. You know, we want to make it easy access. You know, we're even talking about more or less requiring associations to have a website, because that would forego these record requests. If you have the minutes of last year's meeting on the website and people want to see the minutes, they can go to the website, sign in, and here it is. You know, saves a lot of money and it's much easier and avoids a lot of lawsuits.
What about audited financial statements? Are HOAs in Florida required to have annual audits?
Yes, they are. But see, an audit is just a nice word for doing nothing, because a regular audit is nothing else but an accumulation of the numbers given to the auditor by the association. So,
that's true. They're going to look at what they've got over there. But auditors have done a really good job, because if you ask for the audited financial statements, you're going to get a bunch of numbers. There's a management letter that accompanies that, and that's what you have to have. And board members don't know it, because quite often the manager will hide that, and the manager or the treasurer does not make the management letter privy. I know we found it in my association, and we've demanded it, and that's where you're going to find all kinds of discrepancies, where a good auditor will go in and say, all right, we found, you know, the following da-da-da-da-da. I would suggest getting with an auditor that is outside of CAI, not a CAI member, because there's a conflict of interest there.
Well, you have as well the cases where the CAM company hires the auditor, and the auditor is actually the CPA who does the work for the CAM.
Yeah.
You know, you see, we had a case not too long ago in Miami where 6 years in a row the audit came out perfect. Everything was fine and dandy. Then two owners who were not happy with this outcome hired a forensic auditor. And guess what?
Yeah, they found all kinds of discrepancies.
About everything was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so I am not very much in favor of these regular audits, because they don't really look into the real facts. You know, if they auditors a bill for $5,000 landscaping, you know, and it will be in the books. You know, who knows if these $5,000 landscaping bill was really a bill that should have been paid by the association.
Well, the thing is, you know that that's where the money went. Then you go and you find, you know, then that's when you start asking for receipts. But, Jan, would you believe we are out of time?
Yeah, I know. Our runs fast, you know. I told you that before.
Yeah, it does. So I thank you so much for coming, and I thank you so much for joining us in talking to us today, and I hope that you will come back really soon.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Thank you, and take care.
I will.
Okay.
And thanks, everyone, for joining us. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.